This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Hamas has signaled it agrees to the principles of the U.S. proposal to end the war in Gaza. That includes the release of hostages, but with conditions. Israel's prime minister has ordered the IDF to stop its offensive operations in Gaza. And President Trump, in a post, urged Hamas to move quickly to release all hostages or else all bets will be off. ABC's Ian Pannell is in Tel Aviv.
Indirect negotiations between Hamas and Israel are going to get underway in Egypt, we expect, tomorrow, with Special Envoy Steve Witkoff and President's son-in-law Jared Kushner heading the American delegation. But I think it remains to be seen whether President Trump's will alone can force the two sides into making the necessary concessions.
Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem says she sent a request to Secretary Hegseth to send military troops to Chicago and Portland to curb protests. Former NFL quarterback and current Fox Sports broadcaster Mark Sanchez has been hospitalized after being stabbed in Indianapolis early this morning. This is ABC News. The person who attempted to kill Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh, sentenced to 8 years in prison, along with a lifetime supervised release, and federal prosecutors say they're not happy.
The Justice Department calls the prison sentence for Nicole Roskey woefully insufficient and says it will appeal. The DOJ sought 30 years for Roskey, who arrived at Justice Brett Kavanaugh's Maryland home 3 years ago with weapons and a plot to kill the justice. The judge cited Roskey calling authorities from the scene and reporting herself and her status as a transgender person, pointing to a new executive order that requires prisoners to serve sentences in a prison that corresponds with their birth gender. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Drugstore chain Rite Aid shuttering its remaining stores across the U.S. as of Friday. Along with competition, the company said it dealt with opioid-related lawsuits and bankruptcy filings. On its website, Rite Aid says it will provide customers with their prescription and vaccine histories. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
For Civic Media News, I'm Shali Pittman. Monarch butterflies are in their long migration from the northern U.S. to Mexico for the winter. Judith Ruiz Branch of the Public News Service has more.
The journey takes about 2.5 months, with the arrival of the monarchs coinciding with a significant cultural holiday in Mexico known as Dia de los Muertos that honors past loved ones. Entomology professor Karen Oberhauser with the University of Wisconsin-Madison says the celebration likely predates awareness of monarch migration, but the serendipitous timing creates a meaningful connection.
Out of this chrysalis that looks kind of dead, this beautiful butterfly breaks free of the bonds of the earth and flies. So you can see why a lot of cultures see this as synonymous with rebirth, this whole process of metamorphosis.
Oberhauser says monarchs fly during the day and roost at night. The migration is tracked through citizen sightings, with roosts sometimes containing hundreds or thousands of butterflies. People can aid monarchs' migration by creating habitats of milkweed and nectar sources where the butterflies can stop along the way. Only those known as super generation monarchs, which live significantly longer than non-migrating monarchs, make the thousands-mile journey to the mountains of Mexico. Oberhauser says they weigh about the same as a paperclip, so mortality is to be expected. She explains exact figures of migration survival are difficult to measure. Oberhauser notes monarchs primarily use day length rather than temperature as migration cues, though climate change can affect migration conditions, with hot and dry temperatures being particularly detrimental. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
For Civic Media News, I'm Sholly Pittman. More news anytime at civicmedia.us.
1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Sunny and well above normal today. Highs near 90 degrees. Strong south winds. Tonight, clear and breezy, 66. Sunny and breezy for Sunday with a high around 84. Showers and thunderstorms are likely Sunday night with a low around 54 degrees. Right now, it's 87.
Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll review the Badgers game at Michigan and also the Brewers taking on the Cubs over the weekend. Where are we at in the NLDS? Jane Mattner of Mattner on Air will join us and talk a little news as well.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
I tell her, baby, 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 I'm a fireball.
Want to know how you get up and milk cows early in the morning? Get on that tractor and get behind a microphone. You play music like that. That is off the Spotify playlist of our next guest. She is the iconic, I just heard, celebrating her 35th year at World Dairy Expo. And, of course, the director of the Midwest Farm Report, which you can hear every day at the bottom of each hour on this program. The one, the only, the self-proclaimed fabulous farm babe, Pam Yonke, joins us live. Pam, how are you?
I'm all right, Todd. And it's not self-proclaimed. That was a title given to me when I first came to Madison by the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation. At that time, there was a sports announcer named the Sports Babe. She was one of the first nationally syndicated female sports broadcasters. And she was in the habit of using drops, which are so common in, you know, radio, especially then. And she also got some of the hottest sports stars to come on the radio before it was really cool. So they called her the Sports Babe, and then the Farm Bureau started taking me around. At that time, you had to go out and meet your audience, literally, because there was no such thing as cell phones or laptops or social media. And when they'd introduce me in meetings, they'd introduce us as our Farm Babe, and then it turned into Fabulous Farm Babe. So I can't get away from it. It's my truck. It's my website. It's social media. Now I can't get away from it.
Well, I only said self-proclaimed because, you know, things change, and I grew up in a different era, but now if I call a female person a babe, you get emails, why are you doing that? And it's like, look, I didn't give her the, I'm not saying it. This is, you know, she is the one that's using it, and I'm not putting this on her.
Yes. No, it's funny. And in my audience, we have a slightly different look at things like that. Like, I just came from World Dairy Expo, and people don't know my name, but they know I'm the Fabulous Farm Babe. So I have a slightly different litmus test when it comes to using the phrase.
It's, I grew up in an era where you use nicknames like that, and it's no big deal, but, you know, things
I
move
know.
On.
Yeah. Well, and I'm in Madison, and you'd think 35 years in Madison, you'd think I would pick up a sensitivity to some of that. And I'm just still a redneck farm kid from North Wisconsin.
And that's part of why I love you, because I grew up in Richland Center in Southwest Wisconsin. And so I think we have some of the same DNA in terms of enjoying rural Wisconsin and just enjoying life. Let's talk a little bit about the big doings here. Speaking of how my grandparents used to talk, this week, wrapping up the World Dairy Expo. I live about four blocks away. And what's really cool for me is sitting out on my back deck and at night or in the afternoons, hearing over the loudspeaker, you know, some of the announcements at the World Dairy Expo. And I'm like, wow, that sounds, you know, I can see the top of the Coliseum from my balcony.
Oh, man. Yeah, you are definitely within earshot, especially this week. In fact, one of the challenges that I have broadcasting out at World Dairy Expo or doing my television segments is I have to time it so that they actually have cows in the ring and that they're judging. Oh, yeah. Otherwise, when the class gets done, they start announcing the top 10 winners of every. Away from the loudspeakers as best you can, because that show will go until at least 4 o'clock, probably 4:30 this afternoon. That's when they'll name the supreme champion of World Dairy Expo. Mm-hmm. When I was out there, I was just there a minute ago, and now everybody's starting to pivot. Both the exhibitors as well as the people that have cattle are starting to get in their mind frame how they want to get these animals home. You know, Todd, you and I are well aware of the weather. Madison, Dane County had been enjoying. It's wonderful, but it's hot for a cow. Mm-hmm. It's hot for a cow that's under some stress. You know, she's in a different place. She's being handled by a lot of different people to go into the ring. And now for some of these guys, I talked to a buddy of mine. His name is Steve Maddox. He's from Ruin Bay in California. Mm-hmm. And he has 7 cows that he is going to put on the truck just as soon as he can. He will be on the bell probably about 5:30 this afternoon. Goal is to try to draw.
I think, Pam, we're kind of losing you. Break it up just a little bit. I'm not sure if it's on our end or on your end, but it looks like maybe you're back now. You froze up for a sec. Go ahead.
Okay. But
yeah, last thing we heard was the
like
California
was saying. He's got 7 cows that he is going to put on the truck and be on the belt line with other traffickers. And his goal is to try to make sure that he gets those cows through Las Vegas by tomorrow morning. He said if he can't get those cows through Las Vegas tomorrow morning, he may alter the route and go north into the Rockies because of these temperatures. The cows have all the water they want. They have the trailer is rigged up so he can milk them on the trailer.
Wow.
But the temperatures, if this heat stays, shall we say, unseasonably warm, then he may have to deviate and make sure those cows are a little bit more comfortable farther north.
We're talking to Pam Yonke, director of the Midwest Farm Report, which you can hear every afternoon and really all day long across the Civic Media Radio Network. Pam Yonke here is with us live. Pam, tell folks that might not be, or explain them if you could, please. Those that might not be as aware, they're kind of, well, cows coming to Madison, what's the big deal? But, I mean, this is a huge deal. It's really the Emmy or the Academy Awards for the World Dairy. Right. It's an international event. It's economic. Explain what this actually is and what it means to Wisconsin to have it here.
Absolutely. So this show, I just was looking at one of the plaques today. In 2016, so that's what, 9 years ago, they celebrated the 50th anniversary of World Dairy Expo. The show started here, has grown here, is remained here, and has long-term agreement to stay here. That's part of the reason why we saw the economic infusion for both Pavilion 1, Pavilion 2, the New Holland Center, even expansions with the Expo Hall, was keep World Dairy Expo here. It uses all 164 acres of the Alliant Energy Center grounds. It is the number one with a bullet economic driver for that facility and for a lot of Dane County. You are talking about, they'll give us numbers as far as general attendance and things like that probably this afternoon, maybe tomorrow or Monday, but somewhere in the neighborhood of 60,000 guests that have been through Madison. And when I talked with one of the dairy guys from upstate New York, Middleboro, New York, he brought 14 cows from Middleboro, New York, which is up by the Finger Lakes. And he said last year, for the cows and the 10 to 17 people that have to take care of those cows for 12 days, the money he spent, $90,000. That was just for the opportunity to be a part of the show. His hotel room bill was $15,000. Now, that's Dane County money. They weren't going any farther than that. And that gives you a sense of the commitment these people make to wanting to be a part of the show. And I said to him, what's your payback, Jason? And he said, well, the payback is he remembered, I can't remember the year now. I want to say like 10 years ago, one of his young heifers did very well in her class. Now, remember, they had 36 3,600 animals entered to be a part of World Dairy Expo this year. Probably ended up with I want to say around 2,500 that actually showed. His one heifer did very well in one class of all those animals, and the genetic interest and sales that that one animal drew because she placed so well at World Dairy Expo helped to pay his travel bill and all the other investments that he'd made. So it's kind of like, I don't want to say cocaine. That would be not a very good connotation, but it's kind of like that, you know, you're addicted to salty sweet, or you like your gambling or whatever. Yeah. Once you get a little taste of success, you get a little bit of the vig, then you really want to keep playing. You want to come back and do it again and do it again. Plus it's a lot of community. You know, if, like I said, I've been going to this show 35 years professionally since I came to Madison as a farm broadcaster, but I grew up in dairy. I judged FFA, or when I was in FFA, I judged dairy cattle in the center ring. That was part of our competitive events. So I've known about this show my entire life, but it's the people. You know, you come back year after year and you stall up, you know, your cows are next to people that you grew up with, your kids grew up with. It's generational. Then you talk to the staff. You know, Lisa Benke, who's the media director for World Dairy Expo, was a former Alice in Dairyland. Her and I have been on all kinds of agriculture committees. We're the same age. I mean, it's like a family reunion. And I know there's a lot of people that come to the show. The cows, obviously, but it's really to touch base and stay connected with those people that you otherwise only get a chance to see once a year. It's hard to help people not connected with the synergy of agriculture. You know, we are a small family in many ways. It's hard for people that have never experienced that to understand, but for those of us that have had a taste, we will rabidly fight back to get there again next year.
One of our viewers on YouTube right now, Cornell, tuning in, saying simply in all caps, God bless the dairy farmers. Thanks, Cornell. Appreciate that. Isn't that the truth? We're talking with Pam Jahnke, director of the Midwest Farm Report, about the World Dairy Expo, amongst other things. And Pam, my personal grandparents were dairy farmers, Holstein. I think they never milked more than 40 head, probably had another 12 to 15 heifers on the farm. Yep. And, you know, they retired. My dad didn't want to do it. I was too young to take over at that time. And so they sold out in 1983, I think, or so. Talk a couple of minutes about, just because I think a lot of people watch media and they say, oh, what's going on with this quote-unquote corporate farming? I hate that word because, you know, my grandparents never had a vacation. They were there 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And unless you form a quote-unquote corporation with brothers, sisters, siblings, neighbors, you know, you just can't do it anymore. And it's America's Dairyland, but we're seeing fewer and fewer farms, but still kind of keeping up when it comes to milk production.
Right. Yeah. Well, and like I keep railing against that corporate farm mantra, because that is completely incorrect in Wisconsin. Remember, 99% of our farms in Wisconsin are still family owned and operated. But to your point, some of these farms are really successful because sons and daughters are coming back. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? It was one thing when they were high schoolers living under your roof. Now they've got a family of their own. And to make sure that they stay part of the farming operation, you've got to grow so that they can pay their bills and stay with you. So when you drive past a farm, do not make any decisions or judgment from the windshield. Mm-hmm. You don't know a thing about that farm. You just see a big barn. It doesn't, you know, big farm equipment. That very well could be a father, mother, son, daughter-in-law, daughter, son-in-law, grandkids, brothers. I mean, there are all kinds of arrangements that are keeping our Wisconsin farms going. And to your point, it really irritates me when people say, oh, we're losing farms in Wisconsin. No, stop. That drives me nuts. Mm-hmm. We're not losing farms in Wisconsin. What happens is people do, as you said, decide to retire out of the business of farming. Could be milk cows, could be something. But those cows that they milked go to the neighbor's farm. Mm-hmm. Because that boy went to high school with my kids. the land, that guy is going to cash rent to keep me and Ma on the farm and comfortable. I may drive tractor for him. Maybe they're going to use my barn for heifers. Maybe they're going to, maybe I want to run some beef. But that phrase, we're losing farms in Wisconsin. We are not losing farms. People are doing just what all of us do. You work hard, then you want to retire. Mm-hmm. You want to have a little bit slower paced life, or you want something, you know, want to do something different. Those cows go to a neighbor. They generally all stay in Wisconsin. The land continues to be farmed so long as, you know, there's not something else out there that caters to the location or what have you. And a lot of those people that retired, I just saw at World Dairy Expo. Now they're volunteers. Now they're helping in the show ring because you can't give it up. Right. You just can't give it up.
No, you can't give up. Listen to Pam Yonke every morning across Civic Media and in the afternoon as well. We're going to come back, talk more with Pam Yonke and answer the question, where did she find Ben Jarbo? And is he the long-lost son of Orion Samuelson? That and more on the other side. It's the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm on fire. I'm a fireball.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Workdays can be unpredictable, but your workwear shouldn't be. With a Cintas Apparel Plus program, you'll have freshly laundered garments for everyone on your team delivered every week. Cintas has workwear for just about any job imaginable, with high-performance fabrics and an uncompromising fit that stretches and moves with you. Don't leave looking and feeling good to chance. Visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. September 16th, Maine and Oregon were the first to be sued by the Trump Department of Justice for refusing to provide voter data to be shared within federal agencies. Six more states have been sued, and it could be a good thing. September 25th, DOJ rolled out complaints for Pennsylvania, Michigan, California, Minnesota, New Hampshire, and New York. In August, Pennsylvania Secretary of State Al Schmidt, a Republican, told DOJ, "Your letter dated August 14 specifically asked for detailed personal and confidential information, including driver's license numbers and Social Security numbers, for all Pennsylvania voters. This request and reported efforts to collect broad data on millions of Americans represent a concerning attempt to expand the federal government's role in our country's electoral process," unquote. States have loudly reminded DOJ that the states and Congress are empowered by the U.S. Constitution for election oversight, not the federal government, and that the requests violate both state and federal privacy statutes. Writing in Election Law Blog, professor of law at LMU Loyola Law School, Justin Levitt, writes that the DOJ legal action could turn out to be a good thing. He said, "Now there will be federal judges carefully examining the claims that DOJ has made about its authority under specific statutes and truly putting them to the test." We've linked to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Veal.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Morning and all day long across this Civic Media Radio Network, Midwest Farm Report, and Pam Yonke, fabulous farm babe. Find her at MidwestFarmReport.com and also fabulous farm babe on all the socials. She joins us live and also a Packer fan. All right, Pam, lots to get to you, not a lot of time to go, so let's get to it quickly here. Number one, are the rumors true after two losses by our beloved Green Bay Packers? The rumors are that you are being recruited to be the new defensive coordinator. True or not true?
There are many people that know me and have worked with me that would not be surprised to know I was a candidate.
I know.
Right now, I'm currently fully engaged in the Midwest Farm Report and very happy to simply act as a coach from my backyard at Pambo in Green Bay.
And that's real. You have a place called Pambo in Green
Bay. That's real.
Yeah, I know it
is. That's real.
I'm not freaking out too much yet, but boy, I mean, just it's kind of like the Badgers. Like I don't mind a loss once in a while, but how it gets there. You know what I mean?
And not to swallow up time, but see, I'm not a Badger. I live in Wisconsin. I appreciate the university and that, but I didn't go to school in Madison. I went to school at River Falls. The Packers are a part of my DNA. And so help me, if they're going to continue to play games at 7:20 in the evening, for me, who has to be rolling, my alarm goes off at 2, you have got to cut it out because I have strained eyes from watching, trying to sleep with one and watch the game with the other until 10:05. And come on, then we got to go to overtime. And then you're going to give me a stroke by making it final. I'm just like, this is what's going on out there, as one of my farm broadcasters said.
And then at the end of it, it's like kissing your sister, a 40-40 tie. What's up with that?
I know.
All right. Quickly, it is national. Is it national or state pork producers month in October? Gotta give a shout out to our
October
pork.
Is national.
National pork producers month.
National pork. Yeah, and I can tell you why. I can tell you why we picked October. I don't want to slow your roll, but I am a plethora of that kind of knowledge, Todd.
I know you are. That's why I asked. So, but shout out to, I've known a lot of great pork producers, as they say, the other white meat. And I think it's a great reminder to, you know, we play all over the state with, well, I got my Joe Thomas Six Springs Hall of Fame beef hat on right now. Whether it's pork, whether it's beef, prices are going up. But boy, howdy. I mean, I just went together with a couple of friends of mine, and we bought a half a steer and at Hosley Meats down in New Glarus. Go to your local locker. Yep. Go to your local producer. You're always going to be a winner that way.
Yeah, and I'll be happy to hook you up. I mean, you want to really live by local, then get your arms around a quarter of a beef, half a beef. I bought a steer at the Dane County Fair that we have processed. That's the way farm kids are used to buying things, but I'm happy to share that knowledge and insight with anybody that's interested.
No, absolutely. All right, the quick question here, because I love when he came on board, I'm like, where did this guy come from? Because if you're of a certain age, the name Orion Samuelson, the Southwest Wisconsin guy who became really the Paul Harvey of ag broadcasting. I hear a little bit of Orion Samuelson and Ben Jarboe. I could listen to him read a phone book. Where did you find this guy?
Yeah, the kid's from a farm down by Paxton, Illinois, South Central Illinois. Went to school for agribusiness. He's been with us. He'll be coming up on 2 years in 2026. And the funny part was he is so incredibly polite. For the first 4 weeks that he worked for us, for me, everything was ma'am. And I said to him, you know, my name is Pam, right? Oh, he said, I would never be so forward. I said, you know what, sweetie? I appreciate that. My name is Pam. My mother is ma'am. Stop it. Don't be doing it anymore. But he is a big, tall drink of water with a blaze of red hair. And he used to pitch. He was a pitcher in college. So it's been a hoot. And he has got a certain gait. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's the South, but like you said, you could listen to him talk.
Yeah.
Because he's got a certain cadence that is far different than Yatter Hay, Northeast Wisconsin here.
Well, as you well know, I think a good broadcaster is, you know, look at, you know, some of the great sports broadcasters. They were from the South or had, they're a little bit different. It sets you apart and it makes you want to listen to them.
Yes.
You know, yes, so
that's exactly it. And my latest edition is from Iowa State, and she's got just a little different, not accent necessarily, but yeah. We want to keep you engaged. If you get tired of hearing the old farm babe ad nauseum, I'll give you a couple different varieties of voices that you can lean in on.
Look, we'll never get tired of you, Pam. Our time is almost up. Just a couple of minutes left here. I'm not going to play the cut, but I just want to ask you directly. Lots of news on tariffs right now, and not to take it into partisan terms, but I think a lot of people are confused. Why is there a couple of billion dollars in bailout, or was it $20 billion, I think, in bailout money being proposed right now? I think the question is, if you didn't want to go to St. Paul, why did you get on the train? Why are we talking about bailouts? Why did they just not do the tariffs?
Oh, he's right now the $20 billion or whatever number they come up with. They still haven't decided. But that is designed to basically be in the face of China and their lack of purchasing U.S. soybeans. They're buying it from everybody else, but they have not bought a bushel from us. And basically, my commodity brokers say they're going to have to buy from us. But in the meantime, it's how low are we going to get that price? So again, they haven't decided on a final number, but most of the money that will be announced is going to be to offset just soybeans, just China. That's one. Otherwise, there's a lot of places in the world that have seen more robust business with U.S. agriculture. We're at our cheese exports in Wisconsin are 30% higher than they were a year ago. We're having a record year, and that cheese is going all over the place. No tariffs are ever being discussed in that arena. So that one commodity is what's driving that commodity or that conversation. One commodity, one country. That's where it's all focused right now.
About 35, 40 seconds left, Pam Jahnke. What have I not asked you? I want to make sure people know about Wisconsin agriculture.
Just appreciate it. Be careful. That takes too long. When you are driving around Wisconsin, whether it's rural or suburban, please be careful around that big farm equipment. And try to keep, if you're going to wave, let's use all five fingers around that farm equipment, because those people are just trying to get their job done. They just have to use this weather and try to get the job done. And when they're done, they'll get out of your way. They don't want to be in your way any more than you want them there. So please, let's use all five fingers and be safer on that big equipment.
Pam Jahnke, thank you very much. Find her at Midwest Farm Report, fabulous farm babe.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Hamas has signaled it agrees to the principles of the U.S. proposal to end the war in Gaza. That includes the release of hostages, but with conditions. Israel's prime minister has ordered the IDF to stop its offensive operations in Gaza. And President Trump, in a post, urged Hamas to move quickly to release all hostages or else all bets will be off. ABC's Ian Pannell is in Tel Aviv.
Indirect negotiations between Hamas and Israel are going to get underway in Egypt, we expect, tomorrow, with Special Envoy Steve Witkoff and President's son-in-law Jared Kushner heading the American delegation. But I think it remains to be seen whether President Trump's will alone can force the two sides into making the necessary concessions.
Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem says she sent a request to Secretary Hegseth to send military troops to Chicago and Portland to curb protests. Former NFL quarterback and current Fox Sports broadcaster Mark Sanchez has been hospitalized after being stabbed in Indianapolis early this morning. This is ABC News.
Playoff baseball in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Brewers and the Cubs getting underway with the best of five-game series in the NLDS. Chicago against Milwaukee, the two teams facing off in the postseason for the very first time in franchise history. The Brewers' Christian Yelich.
Obviously, the familiarity is there, but the stakes are the same. It didn't matter if we were playing the Cubs or the Padres, like you still want to win to advance to the next round. It's two passionate fan bases that are pretty familiar with each other over the years.
Craig Counsell was the Brewers' manager for 9 seasons and now wrapping up his second year in Chicago.
At least from my perspective, kind of being on both sides of it, I think the regular season matchups are awesome. It's a lot of fun. A lot of times it's kind of there's extra energy from fans and there's fans from both teams in the building. And that's always made it a lot of fun. Teams being good makes rivalries.
That's Cubs manager Craig Counsell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. There is one house that will be less full. Fraudsters Lori Laughlin and husband Massimo Giannulli have decided to take a break from their marriage. The couple was embroiled in a college admissions scandal in 2019 after bribing college officials to get their daughters of limited intelligence into a college. The couple pleaded guilty to conspiracy to commit fraud. Ex-Full House actor Laughlin spent 2 months and Giannulli 5 months in minimum security correctional facilities. Yep, they even finagled their way into better prisons. The Hollywood Reporter says the two have been married for 28 years and have decided not to file divorce papers. At this point, the college admissions scandal was a nationwide conspiracy. Fellow actors Felicity Huffman and William Macy were also involved in the scandal because they cheated for their rich kids, too. Okay, I get that it might be a bummer to be privileged and not all that bright, but the parents are actors. Couldn't they have taught their kids to at least pretend to be smart? For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 1490 WLCX.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Sunny and well above normal today. Highs near 90 degrees. Strong south winds. Tonight, clear and breezy, 66. Sunny and breezy for Sunday with a high around 84. Showers and thunderstorms are likely Sunday night with a low around 54 degrees.
Right now, it's 87.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Derek Van Orden over on our Facebook page jumped into our comment section. Derek Van Orden can get as snooty as he wants with reporters. He can get as confrontational in comment sections. He can use all the cuss words that he wants. And he said 18 U.S. Code subsection 2331. Look it up. Well, we did. It doesn't cover social media posts that make a congressman get his fees all hurt.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, we'll talk about one of Donald Trump's more puzzling budget cuts impacting the education of deaf and blind students in Wisconsin. For real.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Fired up. I mean, they've had the best team in baseball this year. You know, they feel like they have a chance to play in the World Series with this team. So they're rested. It's going to be a great atmosphere. It's Cubs Brewers. That's going to be, you know, as good as it gets. It's always a great atmosphere when the two teams play each other. We'll try to get as many Cubs fans in there as we can. They won't like that. But it's going to be a fun atmosphere, I know that.
That's Craig Counsell of the Cubs. And you better believe it, Counsell. The Brewers do have the best team in baseball. It's going to be a fantastic weekend. Brewers are going to take it to them. I'm excited. Got the October baseball shirt on. Got the Euchre jersey hanging up here in the studio. Great work. Zomers on the board. Blister in the Sun featured in that great film by our friends John Hannish and Kelly Call. Just a bit outside the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers. Check it out if you haven't seen it already. Apple TV, Amazon Prime. What else is Tubi now? It's on Tubi.
Yep, I Roku think it's still channel. On the Roku channel. Roku channel and Tubi are free.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And here to talk about not just the Brewers, Packers have a bye week. The Badgers are going to go to Michigan and get spanked, in my opinion. But here to cash in on the excitement of Brewer fever, he's caught it. Nobody covers it better than our own sports reporter, Mike Clemens, who joins us live from Milwaukee. Mike, how are you?
Todd, I just texted you a picture. because there's writers in the press box. And then there's network crews here from TBS.
Look at that.
Setting up stuff. We've been here since 11 o'clock this morning. But now the Brewers just took to the field for BP. And then the Cubs will be out here at 5:30. We're going to talk to Counsell here in about 25 minutes. So I'll be going downstairs. But you know something? Because you remind – see, I've told you before, I got hired by TV18 – in August of 82,
wow,
about 21, 22 years old, still at UWM. Mm-hmm. I lied on a few things. Okay, I lied.
you just exaggerated. It's fine.
I got it. Oh, sure, I've done that. Sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Maybe I looked older at the time, but I was a producer for Mike Keegan, the former ball player for the Brewers and the Reds.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve Shannon was the play-by-play guy. And so I got to cover all those World Series games that Just a Bit Outside is all about.
Is that
and
crazy?
So today to see this nice warm October day, it's already October,
yeah,
and there's still baseball here. I'm telling you, I got goosebumps. I mean, I know these guys have been, it's like Mark Antanasio just told us here about 45 minutes ago. He did a press conference with the GM, Matt Arnold. He says, yeah, I bought the team 21 years ago. They'd had 12 losing seasons. We've been to the playoffs 8 of the last 9 years. Yeah, I'd say I've been a good custodian. So, but then to see the Cubs hold on even after, you know, they were beating some of the Padres,
right,
and they got a really bad call.
A really bad call.
Strike call. Oh, man. The Cubs are here, and yeah, then this thing gets going tomorrow. First time ever that these two teams obviously have faced each other in the postseason. I mean, you can't ask for a better script.
No, you really can't. Well, I'll get this in quickly, because the game is being carried on many of our stations here on the Civic Media Radio Network, including WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WCQM in Park Falls, and WBZH in Hayward. First pitch tomorrow on Saturday for the NLDS at AmFam, 1:08 in the afternoon, pregame show, mm-hmm, just after 12:30, and you can hear it on all those stations. Over the air, cannot stream it on the app, but over the air. Mike Clark.
So turn on the radio.
Yeah,
turn
yes
on the radio. Jeff and Lane will do the play-by-play and get mm-hmm you all the inside stuff like that. But if you're not lucky enough to get tickets to this thing, it's going to be on either TBS or, I guess, HBO Max. And I was joking with a guy yesterday. I said, you know why the game's starting at 1:08? Because it's going to take 8 minutes to find a flipping game on your cable channel.
You're right. You're right about that. I'm not going to play the whole clip, but I want to play, and this appeared in my timeline here, I think on Twitter last night, and this was put out by the Brewers a few years ago. And if you're a Cubs fan, I want you to listen really closely and think to all yourself, right, if you're a Cubs fan, is this the guy that you want leading your team into the NLDS tomorrow?
I don't know you. I don't know your story, your background, what you do for a living. And yet, I do know you. I know how your eyes lit up the first time you walked into County Stadium. I know how as a kid, you dreamed of being Robin Young. Wanted nothing more than to one day wear that Brewers script across your chest. I know that every summer you stay up late listening to Mr. Baseball on the radio.
Strong! Him out swinging!
I know that you'll never forget October 10th, 1982. Or September 28th, 2008.
And there's a drive in the left field!
October 7th, 2011.
So it goes on from there. If you don't recognize the voice, that is former Brewers player, former Brewers manager, and the current Cubs manager, Craig Counsell. Mike Clemens, this guy, it's in his soul. If you're a Cubs fan, aren't you like, is this really the guy that we want leading our club tomorrow?
And, you know, he's reading a script, by the way, given him to by PR, right?
Right.
That's, you know, that's Brewers Productions. Listen, he and Stearns left after the Hader trade, man.
Right.
You know, I mean, come on. And you know, he stayed here 2 more years, filled out his contract, walked out the door, wasn't going to say anything. They'd lost in the playoffs. And, you know, whatever happened, it happened in the next 48 hours after that. But the Cubs were waiting at the minute that they could call and meet him and bring him in. And then, you know, they opened up their books and showed, hey, here's how much money we'll spend. Here's how much payroll that you'll have. You know, the kinds of players you can acquire. And, you know, he'd had enough of this here. But what's amazing is that, how do you have this continuity? How do you end up having 97 wins with a bunch of these kids?
Yeah.
I mean, kids. Isaac who? Caleb what? And here you have the best record in baseball. And that's just the beauty of this story. The Mets are sitting at home watching this. And they spent 3 times as much as you did.
Yeah.
And today I got to ask a question, Todd. I've been asking a while. It's not like you can, you know, go up to Mark Antanasio and talk about this anytime. But I said, you know that anybody watching baseball this year, and when they watched a Brewers game, the average fan is saying, where do they get these guys?
Yeah.
Where do they get these guys? There's a dozen guys out here that We didn't know who they were. The Miz, Jacob Mizorowski.
Yeah.
Where did they get these guys? And I think they came in with a plan where they said, we're not spending $300 million or more on a bunch of, you know, washed up veterans in their 30s. We're going to get hungry kids in here, and we're going to take that money and put it into scouting.
Yeah.
And we're going to find the next Jackson Chirio out of Venezuela or, you know, all parts of the Western Hemisphere. He deferred to Matt Arnold and said, I hired good executives. And then I try and say no, try not to ever say no when they ask me for things. Mm-hmm. But I know that Doug Melvin said this. And see, these guys, they still are playing their cards close to the vest. Doug Melvin, before he retired as GM, he said, our department is like almost tripled in the time that I've been here. So I think they put it in more scouts in the field and more recruiting that way to get in these younger ball players rather than put all that money on one ball player who's, you know, out on the 15-day IL.
Mike, I talked to Mike Clemens here, a great sports reporter from AmFam Field in Milwaukee. Mike, I still want to touch on the Packers and the Badgers a little bit. But quickly, get your sense from somebody who's in that clubhouse all season, who's been around these guys. Pat Murphy, the great manager, who I think should be named NL Manager, not Baseball Manager of the Year this year. But we had Brady Ewing on the show, former Badger NFL player last week. And I asked him about Pat Murphy's comments that he made to Bob Costas on the Major League Baseball Network here a week or two ago, where he said it really comes down, Murph did, to the who. To the who. And we have the right guys in this clubhouse. But as someone who's been in the clubhouse, Mike Clemens, is that real?
This is a story I'm going to ask Murph about tomorrow in the pregame if we have a chance. This is where there's analytics involved, mm-hmm. right? And developing and all that. But this is where you still need a Pat Murphy to push the buttons during a game. They're playing Cincinnati. They're trying to keep that 14-game streak alive. It's a Saturday night, and the Reds are desperate to come back. And the Reds made it into the postseason.
Yeah.
And he goes to Andrew Monasterio and says, are you ready? Two or three times during the game, he says, are you ready? Yeah. Are you ready? And then in the 12th inning in overtime, he puts him in. He throws in the pinch hitter when they least expect it, and the kid hits one out of the park, and they win the game.
Yeah.
That's Pat Murphy. He's working the kid. He's playing with his mind and says to him, are you ready to do something great? And he does.
Yeah. It's incredible. It's just incredible. I can't imagine being in your seat, getting to see it from a front row there. It has to be absolutely great. Again, Brewers pregame show around 12:30 on many of our stations. First pitch against the Cubs at 1:08 tomorrow afternoon. You can see it on, as Mike said, is it TBS or TN? What one of those Turner stations? I don't know.
Yeah.
Listen to the radio. Also, I mean, you can see it's the Fox Big Noon Saturday broadcast from the Big House in Michigan. Pregame on the radio. On many of our stations starts at 9 o'clock in the morning. It is Wisconsin at Michigan. Is there any hope, Mike Clemens?
Now, you know, that Wisconsin State Journal had that stat this week that so far Danny O'Neill, the Badgers quarterback, has been sacked 13 times.
Yeah.
That's more than they had all last season. Wow. They've got troubles with that offensive line, man, and injuries as well.
Yeah.
And now they got to go against Michigan tomorrow at the Big House. It's not good.
No.
It's not good.
I'm actually nervous that they can win another game this year. I'm not trying to be all Debbie Downer, but I mean, they've got to change a lot of internal things. Let's go quickly, about a minute and a half left here, Mike Clemens. Packers, I'm telling people, I'm saying I'm not freaking out yet. I'm trying to hone Aaron Rodgers a little bit, relax. But boy, just like the Badgers, the way the Packers lost in Dallas, Mike, wasn't as bad in person as it was on television.
No, and here's the difference. At one point during the Mike McCarthy, Aaron Rodgers era, Rodgers says, look, I can't wait for you to give me plays. Matter of fact, it happened to him in the year that they won the Super Bowl. They lost a game they should have won in Washington because of the last minute or two coming down the field. So they let Aaron call the plays during the two-minute drills. And the Packers have continued to have great two-minute offense, better than most teams in the league, even under LaFleur, and now Jordan Love. I think this is going to get to a point where Matt LaFleur is going to say, I got to give the keys to Jordan Love. Let him run the offense the last 2 minutes so they don't have the mistakes like they had last Sunday night in Dallas.
Whose call was that at the end to take it down to 1 second? Was that LaFleur or Love?
No, the fact is I had two players, and one on record, a tape I sent you from Josh Jacobs, who said, I don't think half our guys know where we're supposed to be in 2 minutes.
And, my God.
And I mean, that's either a miscommunication from the quarterback or the fact that you've got two or three new guys on the offensive line that don't get it. That, you know, dude, we're in warp speed, as right. LaFleur calls it. Get your ass up to the line. Let's get the next play going.
Mike Clemens, nobody does it better. Thanks for taking time, my friend. You can hear all of his great reporting all weekend long on both the Brewers and the Badgers right here. Thanks, Mike. Have a great time tonight.
Thanks, Todd.
Yep, you're welcome. Come on back. We'll wrap it up after this on the Civic Media Ready Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Is violent crime in the U.S. higher than 25 years ago? No. Violent crime is lower nationally and in major cities than 25 years ago, according to FBI and Justice Department data. In 2023, cities with 250,000 or more people reported 771 violent crimes per 100,000 residents, down from 1,093 in 2000. Nationally, violent crime has stayed below 400 incidents per 100,000 residents for a decade, compared to about 500 in the late 1990s. Pew Research reported a 49% drop in violent crime, which includes murder, rape, robbery, and aggravated assault, since 1993. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Actor, writer, and my son, Joe Schwabba. Do you have a favorite one-hit wonder song, Joe?
I don't know. That's not great radio.
30 seconds.
What about What Does the Fox Say? We grew up kind of in the same era, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what is the Fox Say? Or Gundam Style?
Oh, those are terrible.
That's
songs.
Another one. Oh, whatever.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
This ain't coming from no prophet, just an ordinary man. When I close my eyes, I see where this world shall be when we all can pay.
The Tylo Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Now 7 minutes before the hour of 4 o'clock.
Get you up. That's a great song. Garth Brooks, great message. We all shall be, we shall be free. Going to talk about that. Going to hear from Garth. He's speaking out. Going to hear from him in just a few minutes here. But first, some breaking news here at this hour. According to CBS News, Hamas has agreed to parts of Gaza's peace proposal outlined by President Trump. Hamas said this afternoon it has agreed to parts of the ceasefire and hostage release deal that President Trump outlined earlier this week. A source familiar with the talks told CBS News that Hamas is ready to enter further negotiations. A U.S. official told CBS News that the United States views Hamas's response as positive, though there are details that still need to be hammered out, such as the decommissioning of weapons, which may begin as soon as next week. Hamas said in a statement it is willing to release all living hostages and the remains of deceased hostages, quote, in accordance with the exchange formula set forth in President Trump's proposal, unquote. So it's still a breaking story. I'm sure Maggie Dawn will have more of this on the Maggie Dawn Show following our broadcast. But at this hour, being reported by CBS and multiple agencies that Hamas has agreed to parts, large parts of the Gaza peace proposal as outlined by President Donald Trump. Of course, the devil is always in the details, so stay tuned to that. Also, another the national news media, rather than focusing on what's happening in Chicago with, you know, ICE and Department of Homeland Security attacking apartment buildings, they're obsessed with Sean P. Diddy Combs. Well, it's happening right now. Breaking news. Sean Diddy Combs has been sentenced to over 4 years, 4 years and 2 months for prostitution-related charges. Having served about 12 months so far, that would keep him in jail for another 3 or so years. Prosecution was seeking more than that. The defense was basically saying let him out. Apparently, by reporting earlier today, he was so arrogant as to book a speaking engagement, I think next week. In Florida,
I am unsurprised.
In Florida. So P. Diddy, that ain't going to work out so well for him. So I believe we're caught up on the breaking news. The government, by the way, is still shut down. Lawmakers are taking up. By the way, the lawmakers, people like Ron Johnson and Glenn Grothman, Scotty Fitzgerald, Tom Tiffany, Derek Van Orden, still getting paid. Still getting paid. Still lifetime health insurance. All right, Maggie Dawn is next. She'll have more on this breaking news and other other news of the day. And then Pete Schwabe after that. Text to win, go for the green and gold. Text to win contest. This hour, 5 minutes left. Our word right now is team. T-E-A-M as in Mary. Team. Text the word team right now to the Civic Media app. Want to leave you with this. Little Garth Brooks speaking out on his upcoming tour. He'll be at Summerfest next summer. And here's what Garth Brooks has had to say about some of his songs and standing up for inclusion.
Let's address two things on it. One is diversity, inclusiveness. That's me. It's always been me. We got the same kind of thing on We Shall Be Free. People, you know, wanting to burn our stuff. And so I get it. Everybody's got their opinions. But inclusiveness is always going to be me. I think diversity is the answer to the problems that are here and the answer to the problems that are coming. So I love diversity, all included, so all are welcome. I understand that might not be other people's opinions, but that's okay, man. They have their opinions, they have their beliefs, I have mine. Second thing though, just let's talk about being a bar owner. I'm a bar owner now. Are we going to have the most popular beers in the thing? Yes. It's not our call if we don't or not. It's the patron's call, the bosses, right? Bring them in there. If they don't want it, then I got to go to the distributor and say, hey, man, your stuff's not selling. And then the action gets taken, right? But the truth is, it's those people in those seats that make those decisions. And that's what Friends in Low Places is going to be. So here's the deal, man. If you want to come to Friends in Low Places, come in. Come in with love. Come in with tolerance, patience. Come in with an open mind. And it's cool. And if you're one of those people that just can't do that, I get it. If you ever are one of those people that want to try it, come. Let's go have some fun, okay? So I don't know how to explain it any better than that, other than what was just said. So we good? Good.
There you go. So are we good? Good. Garth Brooks not making it complicated. Hey, this is what I am. I'm not changing. Everybody's welcome at my concerts. Everybody's welcome at my bar. And if you want to be part of that, join us. And if you don't, hey, that's fine. You do you. But I'm not changing. And the way that he puts it out there, not confrontational, not calling anybody names, but just drawing a line saying, I'm not going to change. And I think we need more of that in these times like we have now. Don't have to be an ass about it, but just say, this is who I am. I'm inclusive. I like everybody. And we're going to keep playing our music. Going to keep doing our show. Stay tuned. Maggie Dawn is next, followed by Pete Schwabo. They'll have two more words for you in the Text to Win contest. A minute left to do team, T-E-A-M, for our word today. And also, don't forget, the Badgers play tomorrow at Michigan. Maybe they can pull off the upset. I hope so. Pre-game show on Civic Media's network at 9 a.m. And Brewers taking on the Cubs for the NLDS Game 1 starting at 1:08 tomorrow afternoon. Have a great weekend. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum and play a little Garth Brooks for you as well. See you on Monday.
We shall be free.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in an address to Israelis a short time ago, saying Israel is on the verge of a very significant achievement, referring to Hamas agreeing to parts of the U.S. ceasefire, and says the release of hostages, but he also says it's not a final deal yet. ABC's Ian Pannell says peace talks are set for Egypt this weekend.
President Trump posting on Truth Social saying he appreciates Israel's temporary halt to the bombing in Gaza to give the deal a chance to be completed. President Trump is urging Hamas to, quote, move quickly or all bets are off, and saying that he won't tolerate delay. As I say, I think this has been a stunning turn of events.
Former NFL quarterback and current Fox Sports broadcaster Mark Sanchez has been hospitalized after being stabbed in Indianapolis early this morning. The government shutdown will continue at least through the weekend, with the Senate out until Monday. 750,000 federal workers furloughed. This is ABC News.